This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, April 2nd, 2020. Gas prices drop below $2 a gallon on average. Gas prices are dropping, according to NPR, to less than a dollar per gallon in a few locations, but most Americans aren't supposed to go anywhere. So that's the irony of the coronavirus lockdown. Just when you might be able to afford it, you're not really supposed to. The national average price for a gallon of gas is now $1.99, according to AAA, and it's expected to drop further in the next few weeks to $1.75 or even lower. Prices vary across the country. In two states, Hawaii and California, the average price at the pump is still above $3. Can't imagine why. But drivers are paying less than $1.99 at more than two-thirds of the gas stations in the U.S., according to AAA. In Oklahoma, the average price is $1.55. Individual gas stations can go even cheaper. Multiple stations across the U.S. have sold a gallon of gas for less than a dollar a gallon, at least temporarily, according to Gas Buddy. In the last week, 99-cent prices have shown up at various times in Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Missouri, and more could join in the days and weeks ahead. According to Gas Buddy, the last time the national average has been this low was March 23, 2016, caused by a crash in the oil market. During that period, the national average stayed below $1.99 per gallon for nearly 3 months, from January 2nd to March 23rd, bottoming at $1.66 per gallon on February 14th. In 2009, the Great Recession pushed the national average below $1.99 per gallon for roughly 4 months, from November 20th, 2008 to March 25th, 2009, bottoming out at $1.59 per gallon on December 29th, 2008. Prices eventually staged a major recovery in 2010 and stayed high until 2014. Let's see how low we can go. Texas governor deems worship an essential activity. Kudos to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. This is from the Daily Caller. Mary Margaret Olahan reports, as authorities arrest pastors for holding Sunday services in defiance of social distancing orders, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced Tuesday that religious services are to be considered essential in his state. Abbott issued an executive order relating to statewide continuity of essential services and activities during the coronavirus pandemic. The order mandated that all Texans will minimize social gatherings and in-person contact with people who are not in the same household, and, among other statutes, clarified that religious services conducted in churches, congregations, and houses of worship are to be considered essential services. Essential services shall consist of everything listed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security in its guidance on the Essential Critical Infrastructure Workforce version 2.0, plus religious services conducted in churches, congregations, and houses of worship, unquote, the order stated. It also goes on to say, other essential services may be added to this list with the approval of the Texas Division of Emergency Management. The governor encouraged those involved in essential services to practice good hygiene, environmental cleanliness, sanitation, social distancing, and working from home when possible. Abbott's order comes as authorities arrested pastors in Louisiana and Florida for holding Sunday services and busing large groups of people to attend their services. Remember, Central Police Chief Roger Corican called Reverend Tony Spell of the Louisiana Life Tabernacle Church reckless and irresponsible for holding Sunday services there, and Florida Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister called megachurch pastor Rodney Howard Brown's actions reckless disregard of public safety. Meanwhile, the Michigan governor has changed her mind. But before we get to that, on the other end of the spectrum, we do have some magistrates clamping down or threatening extreme measures. Recall, just a few days ago, we covered Bill de Blasio's authoritarian threats in the city of New York. Not to be outdone, in Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam issued an edict making it a crime to hold a church service with more than 10 people. But Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer initially banned large gatherings, including those at churches and religious institutions, and then she went even further, threatening administrative actions against doctors who prescribed the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine. And my sincere apologies to all you doctors out there who know I've been mispronouncing that. It's hydroxychloroquine. sulfate, which President Trump has cited as a potential game changer in treating coronavirus. Then, just days later in Michigan, Governor Whitmer not only reversed course on hydroxychloroquine sulfate, she asked the federal government for shipments of the drugs. Then, she also modulated her own order banning large gatherings, excluding religious groups from any penalties after the state House Speaker, Lee Chatfield, conveyed his concerns about the penalties to Whitmer. In an interview with Fox News Sunday anchor John Roberts, Whitmer explained that while she was greatly discouraging religious gatherings in light of the pandemic, she didn't believe the government had the right to order churches to close. Did you catch that? This Democratic governor in Michigan stated, for the record, she doesn't believe the government has the right to order churches to close. Well, you know, the separation of church and state, and the Republican legislature asked me to clarify that, explained Whitmer. That's an area that we don't have the ability to directly enforce and control. We are encouraging people, though, do not congregate, unquote. Chatfield, a Republican, took to Facebook to thank the governor for listening. People have a God-given right to assemble and worship, and that right is secured by both the United States and Michigan Constitution. While I do not think that the right can be taken away by an executive order, I believe that as Christians we also have a duty to love our fellow man and play our role within society, stated Chatfield. So, at last count, there are three state governors who have issued stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place orders that have specifically exempted churches: Florida, Texas, and Michigan. Interestingly, Michigan, again, is a Democratic governor who accepted pushback from her Republican legislature. Finally, for today, I want to read something that I posted on Facebook and Twitter yesterday, and this is just a list of outstanding questions that have accumulated in my mind about the reliability of the data and projections surrounding the COVID-19 coronavirus. These are not at all meant to be gotcha questions. They are simply honest questions that I would be more than happy to receive reasonable answers on. So here are my questions. There's five of them. The first one: how can we trust data projections from COVID-19 and coronavirus if we do not know the total number of cases? Do we know the total number of cases that have happened in the world, in the United States? The only way you can find out if somebody has already had it and recovered is through an antibody test. I've heard that antibody tests are in the works, but to my knowledge, they have not yet been widely used. Aren't we missing a very important denominator for our calculations? We have this many cases out of how many already? This many deaths out of how many? Aren't we missing a very important denominator for our calculations? Number two, if many cases are apparently mild or even symptom-free, how can we trust projections of the spread of the virus if we do not know how many people have already recovered and are therefore now immune? If the virus has been in America since late 2019 or at least early 2020, as some doctors believe, doesn't a wide swath of immunity significantly reduce the rate of its spread? Question number three, is it true that many people who are dying with COVID-19 did not necessarily die from COVID-19? There are reports that there may be various state-mandated reporting policies related to this, perhaps even financial incentives to reporting deaths this way. How can we trust data and projections if we do not make this distinction in our mortality rates? So for an example, a 90-year-old with emphysema who tests positive for COVID-19 shortly before dying isn't in the same boat as the occasional outlier, I think, of a healthy 35-year-old who gets the virus and then dies, clearly, from the virus. Question 4. Do the mainstream data projections and models take into account differing qualities of healthcare systems or greater or lesser government bureaucracy, regulation, or bottlenecks? Is the quality of healthcare projected neutrally between China, Italy, the UK, and the US? Again, if they do not distinguish differences in healthcare systems, how can we trust these projections? And finally, number 5, do the mainstream data projections take into account demographic differences density of population, average age of population, and other underlying medical factors such as higher percentage of smokers or other pre-existing conditions? And if not, why should we trust these data projections? This is Toby Sumpter with your CrossPolitik News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitik.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast and support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. For a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. You can't get these anywhere else except by becoming a member or upgrading your membership while supplies last. You're also getting access to tons of content. We have Pastors in Politics. There's three episodes so far. Dan Fisher, Doug Wilson, Roger Skeppel, Pat Perkins, George Grant, plus hours more with David French, Eric Erickson, Walter Williams, Maj Touré, Kurt Kennedy, Gary DeMar. I just dropped a parenting, Joys of Parenting, a seminar with me and my wife, Pastor Doug Wilson, and his wife, Nancy, just talking about family and parenting. You also get access to our very own Worldview Shotgun series. Check it out. Become a member. Listen, watch. I hope you have a great day.